You're listening to Casual Talk Radio, where common sense is still the norm. Whether you're a new or longtime listener, we appreciate you joining us today. Visit us at casualtalkradio.net. And now, here's your host, Leister.
Chances are you own a cell phone. It's a good bet you own a cell phone. The question is, do you have a regular phone? Chances are you don't have a regular phone. You only have a cell phone. You probably dropped the regular phone at some point in the distant past. That's up to you. You know, if that's what you felt was the right answer, that's up to you. I would question some things. Today's episode is to ask those questions and to challenge your thought process and hopefully have you think about something. Is it possible, just bear with me, is it possible that you've been okey-doked by the technology, that you've been trapped, that you're in the matrix, that you have been absorbed into the Borg? Let me take you back on a trip. Those listening to the show, the demographic is one that will remember what I'm referring to. There may be people younger. The large demographic knows what I'm talking about. I'm going to tell the story. So for some of you, it's a reflection. It's a remembrance of times better served. And then for some, it's new. You didn't realize this, or maybe you watched your parents, right? But let's take you back. There was a time when talking on the telephone, it's what we did. It's what we did, not just to pass time. Although it is true, there were some people who would do what we described as breathing on the phone. You know, you're just on the phone and it's just, you know, or you fall asleep because it's so late, you're not really talking. It's kind of that just having them there, you know, having somebody there on the other end of the line was a little bit of assurance. I got called one day. It had to have been like 1 a.m. or something else. I can't answer for you exactly what it was that compelled me to answer this call, but a phone call came in. And normally I'm not going to answer the phone at that hour because I appreciate my sleep. But in this situation, for whatever reason, I woke up and answered the phone. I answered the phone and it's a coworker of mine that I used to work with at the time who I had, you know, I would consider her a good friend. And she's just talking about stuff. Hey, how you doing? What's going on with it? It was just talking about stuff. She was asking about some things and I didn't know where it was going, but we have enough of a relationship that we can just kind of bounce off each other and hold a conversation for however long. And I think we must have talked for like 30 minutes. We get to the end of it. She says, thank you. For what? I want to thank you for keeping my mind off what's going on. Apparently what had happened is her friend suddenly got admitted to the hospital. It was a random thing, unexpected. And she wanted to be distracted. She wanted to talk to somebody to get her mind off of worrying about her friend. Now, there's two parts to that. Number one, the power of a phone call. A text message cannot give you that same level of emotional connection that a phone call can do. Two, this is a person, she's married. She has, I think, 3 children. She has friends up the yin-yang because she's a friendly person in general. She chose to call me. That was power. It's power in just having a phone conversation that text messages cannot duplicate. But it was power for me. Power to feel that I could make a difference to something so simple. I didn't have to know why she was calling. It didn't matter. I can't explain why I answered the freaking phone because I normally do not. But there was something, for whatever reason, compelled me to answer the phone. And I was appreciative that at least I could have some positive impact on what she was dealing with. I didn't need specifics. I didn't need details. It was just enough to be there for her in her time of need. Fast forward, I'm in Washington State now. So that was California. I'm in Washington State and I get a call from a friend who's telling me that his sister, who's a friend of mine, she's in the military and that she's up there and he gives me her phone number. I give her a call. She's happy to talk to me. We meet up for coffee, happy to chat. Great conversation. She tells me about all the terrible stuff she had gone through. And I told her straight, you know, if you need anything, you let me know. I don't want you to be feeling like you don't have that resource since I'm here. If you need something, I don't think you do, but if you do, I'm here. I think she lives in Alaska now. I don't know how, but hey. The point is, the power of a phone call cannot be understated. And I believe the decline of people's ability to communicate effectively, whether face-to-face or not, I can connect it in my mind directly to the decline of the desire to have phone calls. And when I do have phone calls with certain people, let's say for business reasons, almost to a T, they suck at it. And I don't understand that. There seems to be no ability to communicate effectively. Got me thinking, perhaps, and this is my statement for today's episode, perhaps technology has overtaken the human element. You are part of this Ponzi scheme known as cell phones. You're asking, Leister, why do you say cell phones are a Ponzi scheme? How could it possibly be a Ponzi scheme? Let's take another trip backwards, shall we? There was a time when having a cell phone at all, having a phone, a mobile phone at all, was a luxury. I remember my father having a bag phone, as we called them, which is essentially satellite, in the car. And it was the coolest thing, but rarely would you have it. Like, you would see that in limos or something like that, but it wasn't widespread. I know my friend's parents didn't have it in their car. It was like a luxury. But it was cool to see it. He never used it, but it was cool to at least see this business. When cell phones become a thing, I'm talking actual mobile, they were crazy expensive. The prepaid, I remember GTE, they had a kiosk down there in Plaza Bonita. And to get a prepaid cell phone, it was 50 cents a minute. It was 50 cents a minute prepaid when this thing was in its early phases. That was the reality of this. So I did get one because, again, it was cool to own a cell phone. And it was bulky and huge. And this is at a time, you know, when people were carrying pagers and two ways and all that. And I wanted a cell phone. Fast forward, cell phones start to get a little bit more traction, but we're not using it as a primary device. It's like a secondary device. We use it when we're not home. I remember I was at work and we had a traveling salesman, literally door-to-door salesman, come to the office. We're in a building, comes to the office, and he's selling what was at the time called Pac Bell PCS. Pac Bell, aka Pacific Bell, now known as AT&T. But at the time, Pac Bell, PCS, which was this whole fancy schmancy marketing business about the clarity of phone calls. And they had these cell phones, and it was a Ericsson phone that he had, and he had a bunch right there, and you could sign up right on the spot. And again, the plans are crazy expensive. I don't even remember what the plan price was for that business, but it was crazy expensive. I remember that. But it's cool because none of my peers had a cell phone. And I wanted it. So I got it, knowing I wasn't going to hardly use the damn thing. I think the only two people that ever called me on the cell phone, Brandon might have called me at least a couple times, maybe. John, maybe a couple times. Other than that, Charlene, I know she called me a couple times. I'm pretty sure Shark had to call me at least once. Pretty sure that's true. And maybe a couple of select others. That's it. I didn't hardly use it. So I'm spending on this business, but I didn't hardly use it, which is unfortunate because then later, when I really could have used it, I didn't have it. When I get to my second girlfriend, so that's Brandy, I didn't have a cell phone. And at the time, we were using landlines. And you may not understand that at that time, landlines, there was no such thing as free long distance like we take for granted now. When I say long distance, I'm not talking international. I'm talking just calling a different city in the same freaking state. That they charged you for that. It was a lot of money. So the cell phone helped offset some of that if you had the right plan. You know, basically long distance across cities was essentially free. There was kind of the secondary tier of long distance that was not free, but most people, it's within the same state, you're good to go. I didn't have the cell phone when I was dating Brandy. So I'm doing long distance with the calling cards or the calling codes, 10811, if anybody remembers. So these calling codes that build to the phone and then the long distance cards and all this nonsense. all because at the time, the communication, talking to somebody on the phone, was a priority. And it didn't matter about any other, like, we didn't use heavy email to communicate like that. We did later, but at the time we didn't. It was all about the phone. Okay. Fast forward, I end up working for Sprint, which was at the time Sprint PCS, later called Sprint as we know it. Sprint PCS, they're starting to release these newer phones that are basically the earliest version of what we now call smartphones. But at the time, everybody just had a regular flip phone or a candy bar phone. They were just dumb phones. And people were using them for voice calls, but again, as kind of a secondary, wasn't the primary. These smartphones took it to a next level because you could do email, you could do all these things that we take for granted today. These were luxury things at the time. I was one of the few to get that smartphone at the time. And I forget exactly what the model or the make, I can see it in my mind, but I can't remember what it was. And it wasn't that expensive. It was like $200. But it was the highest end that they wanted. The price, I'm coming back to that. Fast forward now. Paris Hilton does the whole Sidekick business on T-Mobile. And it's basically a two-way, but it's a phone. This, I would argue, is one of the first, in addition to BlackBerry, but largely this Sidekick is one of the first inroads into more mainstream use of these devices. Not even for text messages, although that was a thing. It was really about the voice still, but more people were getting on board with it. BlackBerry was helping on the email side. Email was a big thing, but text message still hadn't really taken off. When the iPhone starts coming out, so now we're starting to get into a world of smartphones and Android at the earliest phases. There's more of an adoption to the idea of text messages, but email is still the dominant force in this. Over time, if you look at the price of these devices, I remember when I was able to buy what was at the time top-end devices for $300, $400, $500. The price of these devices seemed to keep going up year over year. There was a time I could trade in, and I did trade in, on Verizon at least four times without paying anything out of pocket because they weren't crazy expensive. Later, more so because iPhone started to take off, Android started to take off, BlackBerry started to decline, we start seeing prices start getting out of whack, right? $1,000 phones and $1,200 phones and $1,400 phones, dumb phones as they're referred to, the candy bars, the flip phones, all of those are starting to disappear. And nobody knows what's going on, but the point is smartphones are starting to take a front seat. Largely because of the iPhone, people are now trained to trade up to the latest model of phone. And it was proven Apple's devices are planned obsolescence. The battery life doesn't last and something happens or whatnot that compels you to upgrade to a new phone. Everybody then is buying into this situation with the carriers. Yeah, you just put the monthly payments on the monthly plan for 24 months to pay off the phone. You don't have to buy it up front. So to the people, now they've been trained like chimpanzees to not see that price and understand the very inflation that affects you was exacerbated by what the carriers and the manufacturers did to convince you to get on the latest, greatest smartphone device. Largely because all of these different companies pushed the idea of using their app instead of just going to a website. In the newspaper today, there are these companies that won't even give their website address. Instead, it's just a QR code to scan. That's terrible because they actually are paid more for the ink they use to print the QR code than they would do for the website address. So they're willing to pay more money just to coddle to mobile use because they know that more mobile use is all that data that gets collected from you to have your app on that phone. They collect all sorts of data about you and they sell it. That's how they get their money back. You become the product. Everybody then rushing to sell smartphones because they have no choice because their phone dies and they can't get the dumb phone or they can't get the flip phone and they're forced to do these mobile apps and they're forced to do this. They're forced to do scans of codes and their work forces them to get two-factor codes. And all of these are engineered to push this narrative about smartphones. Meanwhile, the whole industry is getting fat off the hog, off your backs, because you are paying for these overpriced devices. Think about every other device. There was a time plasma TVs, I'm talking 42 inches, right? A 42 inch plasma TV, I'm speaking direct evidence. I and a friend went down to Circuit City and we saw the very first releases of plasma TVs. It was a 42 inch plasma TV at Circuit City and they wanted $15,000 for this business. When LCDs first became a thing, they were thousands of dollars. Do you know you can get a 60 inch TV for less than $500? Do you know why? Because when technology is adopted on a mass scale, normally what should happen is that the price of everything goes down. This should apply to cars. It should apply to tablets. It should apply to phones. It should apply to computers. Computers. You can get a laptop for dirt cheap. Remember, there was a time when laptops, when they're in the early phases, were thousands of freaking dollars such that nobody really had one. And then they became mainstream. And then now you can get one for $300. That's fairly darn decent. But because the world pushed to mobile phones don't get cheaper. All the carriers are doing is hiding that price within the monthly payment. You're still paying for it. And you're paying more for these mobile devices than you did in the past, which is the polar opposite of all other technology. The carriers depend on you buying those devices because their plans are loss leaders. They're not making significant money off the plans anymore because there was a time where they were charging for text messages. They can't do that anymore because everybody else made it free. There was a plan that people were charging for long distance. They can't do that anymore because everybody else made it free. There was a time when the phone company was charging for things like caller ID and three-way calling and call forwarding and call waiting and voicemail. They were charging for these. They can't because now those are taken for granted as here's what it is. Text messages used to be charged per. They can't do that anymore. MMS was charged at a premium. They can't do that anymore. Ringtones were charged at a premium. You can't do that anymore. You name it, they were charging for it. All of this nickel and diming that they no longer can do. However, the technology is still there. They can't pay off the plan that way. So then what happens? Then, quote, unlimited data becomes a thing. In the olden days, unlimited was truly unlimited when it was dog slow and nobody could really use it for anything. When it got faster and they realized that it was allegedly putting a strain on the network, they no longer can allow people to do unlimited. They grandfather people in, but then they punish those people, right? They punish those people by having throttling. It's still unlimited, but it's slow as dog. The carriers need you to pay, overpay for the phones because it's how they recoup what they've lost for the plans because they no longer can charge those and they pocket the profit. The most expensive component in your smartphone today is the actual mobile chip. In this case, 5G or 4G, that chip is the most expensive part of your device. The second most expensive part is arguably the operating system. The third is arguably the glass. Arguably. We can debate semantics. But I can tell you for sure that that mobile chip is the most expensive component in that device. We know that's mass produced because in most cases, it's Qualcomm that's developing it. There's very few exceptions to this. How can it be? Think about it. How can it be that you can have cell phones that are better capable at recording video, right? Than a regular camcorder. In some cases, I'm talking in like the $400 range. In this thin device, it's all about sensors and all that other technology, but by and large, what they're doing is mass producing these parts. So they perfect it once and then they mass produce it. But the price of it does not go down, as you see with other technology that goes lower price at mass production, because the carriers need that money. It's the only way to make that profit. So they convince you, by way of advertising, to keep upgrading that smartphone over and over and over again. You got to keep up with the Joneses. Remember, there was a time nobody really cared about upgrading their phone to a significant degree unless their regular phone died or they needed more storage, let's say, sure, or they wanted a significant feature out of it. So for example, in the BlackBerry world, the BlackBerry itself was the best when it came to email. So if you went from a non-BlackBerry to a BlackBerry, pretty much you were set on the BlackBerry for until it died. And then there was nothing like it to replace it. You're stuck with all the other garbage that's out there because nothing came close to the BlackBerry in terms of email. When they pushed away from email and started shilling text messages, BlackBerry became less of a thing. However, when you step back and you say, okay, well, what do we need to do now as far as phone? What do we need? What do we need out of it? Most people would deprioritize phone calls. They would prioritize text messages, right? They would prioritize the apps. They would prioritize the phone, prioritize all these things. And if you step back, chances are you infrequently use the vast majority of it. You probably use text messages. You probably use an app occasionally. You waste time browsing on the web and all this social media nonsense. And if you were to put a price on the what you use that phone for, chances are you only use 10% of the device's capabilities. But you're charged over $1,000 for that business. So I'm saying the carriers need you to keep buying in. They need you to keep upgrading. They need you to keep doing it. And you ultimately are responsible for the price hikes that continue to happen because they know you'll pay it. If you're cool paying it, great. I'm just telling you so you understand. It's a Ponzi. Because what they have to do is have to keep charging, keep pricing and overpricing and overpricing, and they have to keep getting new money in there because everybody has one now. So now what do? You can't find new customers because everybody's got a smartphone. And most of those people, all they can do is keep upgrading. If people stopped upgrading their smartphones on a frequent basis as they currently do, I guarantee you the carriers would crash and burn. And they would be forced to innovate. They'd be forced to get creative on how they're going to make profits. Things like going back to tablets, which I argue is a strong need, and possibly going back to regular flip phones, which I argue is another need. I would argue that we need more diversity in devices, more selection and more choice, because not everybody needs a smartphone. It's just the truth. And people who don't want to continually distract themselves certainly don't need a smartphone. They just need a phone, you know, to be able to make the occasional phone call or something. If the carriers are not able to convince you to keep upgrading the phone, they're going to crash and burn. It's a Ponzi. They're dependent on you continually upgrading that damn thing, and they need pretty much everybody to do it. When they have people like myself, like Leister here at CasualTalkRadio.net, who refuse to own one of those phones, they can't support that. And so I get bombarded with all sorts of stuff to get on board. For what? I don't need it. I've not had a smartphone for countless years, and I've been perfectly fine without it. If there's something where they need me to do something mobile, I have a tablet for that. And I understand I am the outlier. I'm the exception. But I do it because I understand I don't need the smartphone. I don't need what it offers. I don't need to spend that money. It's a waste of money. And I would argue if you were to reflect on your actual use of that device, you don't need it either. You've been convinced it's the only answer because they've taken all the other options from you. Cool. If you're fine with that, great. There's no call to action. I'm simply making the statement. Smartphones themselves are a giant Ponzi scheme. The carriers depend on you constantly upgrading your cell phone. And if you don't do it, and let's say half the freaking nation, U.S., stopped upgrading their smartphones on a regular basis. Just stop doing it. The carriers would get desperate. They'd have to figure something out, and you would see prices start to go down because they'd have to do something to appeal to those people. I'm talking device prices. You start seeing cheaper devices. All of a magic sudden, the prices would come down. Why? Because they're nothing but raw profit today. And you're like sheep, and you keep paying it. And because you keep paying it, they keep getting fat off the hog. And it's a vicious cycle. So I think it's going to be a bubble. I think cell phones are going to be the next bubble. Because if we don't fix the economy, cell phones are going to be the next bubble. People are not going to be able to afford those plans. People are not going to be able to afford getting phones. And if the carrier cannot depend on that stream of income they currently get out of you, it's going to crash and burn. I think it's going to be the next bubble. Or people take out debt in order to pay that off, which is terrible. But something's got to give. Something's got to give, and I believe it's going to get worse before it gets better. because the industry is so embedded in getting more and more money out of you on a regular basis, like a hamster running the wheel, that the moment those hamsters stop, the whole industry is going to crash and burn. I'm hopeful that I will not be here to see that, but that's what I expect will happen because of how bad it's gotten, all because society was convinced that talking on the phone, just regular voice calls, is no longer sufficient. And so people rushed away from their regular landlines. Landlines have no means of distraction other than hearing somebody's voice, which emotionally is better for you, mentally is better for you, it puts you in a better situation, makes you a better communicator. We've run away from that, and the people out there, they don't realize what the stuff's doing to them until it's too late. When it's too late, I think the bubble's going to burst. Again, hopefully I'm not here to see it when it does. Thank you.